The title of the message is, What Are You Thinking? What are you thinking? What are you thinking? Let's just pray. Lord, I just thank you for the spirit of truth. Your word is truth. And Lord, even as we explore your word this morning, we thank you for the anointing of your Holy Spirit to open the eyes of our understanding. Lord, we pray that as this word comes even now, Lord God, to us all, Lord, that it will break every yoke, Lord God. Yes, Lord Jesus. Every bondage, Lord God, that we, your people, will be set free, hallelujah, by the power and the authority of your word. Let your kingdom come and let your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, what are you thinking? And decided to just do a little background, you know, definition of what is a thought. What are thoughts, you know? Of course, most persons will say it's an idea. It's whatever comes into your mind. You know, the psychology today, they use words to describe thoughts as it's an idea like, it's a memory like, it's a song like. It suggests that they are using these expressions because they can't quite define it, you know. It's described, a thought is described as a mental construct, an idea. The scientists will go the route of, oh, you know, it's the impulses that pass through your brain and it creates a thought or generates a thought. But the truth is, the scientific field has not, nor the psychological field, have been conclusive about where thoughts come from. You know, they're not quite sure, but it's interesting that they note that regardless of how intelligent one is or how much self-control that you can exert, that our thoughts can be very difficult to restrain. Does anyone agree with that? That sometimes it's really hard to harness those thoughts. It's hard to catch them and, you know, lock them up, so to speak, and say, no, I don't want those thoughts to invade me. But why are our thoughts important? Does it matter what we think? You know, aren't my thoughts? Aren't they my personal thoughts? Aren't they personal and private? But the truth is, just as those have concluded that it's hard to restrain them, that if we do not pay attention to what we are thinking and how we are thinking, then that thinking can dictate how we live and it can ultimately destroy our lives. Because our thoughts eventually pour over into actions. Proverbs 23:7 speaks to that. It says, For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And then it goes on. It says, Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with you. Right. And you know, when you read the verses before, it really says that there's a man who is stingy. He thinks stingily. And as he thinks, so is he. So even if him come and say, no man, come, you know, have a drink on me. Well, soda. If, you know, come and I'll, you know, buy you something. You know, he's thinking, boy, I wonder how much it's going to cost. And the passage is really saying, as a man think, he's stingy. But watch his actions, it's still going to be stingy in his mind. So as you think, then it comes out into your actions. So as a man thinketh, so is he. Genesis 1:31. Says, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. So they know that the next day he rested. So on the sixth day, we know that man had already been created. So according to the word of God in Genesis 1:31, when God made man, he made him good. He made man good. When he breathed into him, he became a living soul. Adam was good, a good body, a good soul, a good spirit. And when you look up the Hebrews definition for good according to the Strong's Concordance, it says that good refers to being beautiful, cheerful, glad, fine, wealth. So Adam and Eve, by nature, were good because they were created good. God breathed this breath into them and it was all good. But we know that never lasted long, right? That never lasted forever. Because three chapters later, we read about the fall. We read the account of Satan influencing and deceiving Eve about God's instructions. about what God had said. And as we would say, the rest is history. But let's just look at it. Genesis chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. It says, "The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious. And she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he too ate it. At that moment, their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves." Now, good man, so to speak, was now corrupted through their disobedience. The sinful nature now started to rule. Isn't it interesting that Adam and Eve, the tree was always there. God's instruction was always there. And when they saw the tree, they just simply obeyed God. They always obeyed God. But when the serpent spoke to Eve, something must have happened. You know, all along they passed the tree was, I was wondering, wasn't it looking beautiful? Wasn't it looking good? Wasn't it looking delicious at that time? But something supernatural happened in that exchange between Eve and the serpent, devil. He convinced her that she could go against God's instructions and be something good, or be something that God never even planned for her. See, she was already good and she never even knew it. She didn't even know that she was made perfect. But here it was that the devil came and deceived her and influenced her mind. This must have been a supernatural influence on her mind, because she always saw the tree there. Adam always saw the tree and they left it alone. The serpent, the devil, attacked Eve's mind and deceived her. She started to stray away in her thought processes from what God had said. And she started to meditate about it. She started to think about this new way of looking at this forbidden tree. It was always there. But the devil's interaction on and the influence on the mind was a supernatural event. And then she started looking more at it in a different light. As she looked at the tree, she became deceived, and she believed the deceitful lies of the devil. It was spiritual warfare. Adam and Eve were blindsided and ambushed by the attack on their minds. And do you know it's the same today? We could ask ourselves, what lies have we believed? Have we been ambushed in our mind and we don't even know? Are there thoughts that we are absorbing, embracing, taking on, and as a result leading our lives by those thoughts, and we don't realize that we are being deceived? One could ask, then why did they do it though? Why did they give in? Well, they had free will, and can I tell you, so do we. We are not robots. You know, I notice that there are times when I am probably logging into some website and I'm filling out a form. You'll see them have these little symbols at the end, and they will ask, repeat the symbols, and it's to prove that you're not a robot. You know, I don't know how many of you have seen that. Or they have these pictures, these images, and say, tick all the bikes or tick all the bridges. And sometimes I'm concerned. I'm wondering if I'm seeing right. You know, sometimes I click and it's like it gives me another option, another set of images because I clicked wrong. But we are not robots. In fact, it is said that one of the distinguishing features between human beings and the animal kingdom is the fact that we reason, we think, that we can have thoughts and entertain. We have the capacity to reason and entertain thoughts. Yes, animals can be trained, and yes, they have natural instincts, but mankind, the human being, has the ability to reason and entertain thoughts. Adam and Eve doubted God's words under the beguiling influence of the devil. And this doubting led to disbelief. And the disbelief led to disobedience. And the disobedience led to sin. And sin entered the world. In Romans chapter 16, verses 19 to 20, Paul understood this. And I'm reading from the Message version, because it captures exactly what took place in Genesis. So Romans chapter 16, 19 and 20. And I'm reading from the Message version. And so while there has never been any question about your honesty in these matters, I couldn't be more proud of you. I want you also to be smart, making sure every good thing is the real thing. Don't be gullible in regard to smooth talking evil. Stay alert like this, and before you know it, the God of peace will come down on Satan with both feet, stomping him into the dirt. Enjoy the best of Jesus. I know another version says that the God of peace will bruise Satan shortly under your feet. That's the King James version. But here it is. He's saying that while there's never been any question about your honesty, you know, he was recommending them that they were obedient to God's word and that they were to be careful, stay alert, stay like this, be wise, make sure that you can tell the good thing from the real thing. You know, Pastor Mary oftentimes talk about a God idea versus a good idea. We need God ideas. We need God thoughts, not just good thoughts. And Paul was saying, hey, stay alert like this. Before you know it, the God of peace will come down on Satan with both feet, stomping him into the dirt. And you know, when you read the commentary on that, it's really talking about when we get to heaven and that final blow crushing Satan's head. But in the meantime, you know, I believe that it's the obedience, our obedience to God, that gives us access to the power of Satan, power over Satan. If Eve had submitted to God through obedience, if she had resisted the devil, run him away, so to speak, with his lies, then the devil would have left her alone according to James 4:7. That's what the Bible says. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. However, because Adam and Eve were not obedient to what God had told them, Satan got a foothold. He got a foothold into Eve's mind. She then took the lying, deceitful bait, and the devil got the upper hand, not just over Eve, but over all mankind. And that is what we refer to a lot of times as the battlefield of the mind. Praise God. Hallelujah. You're still with me? Praise God. All right. Now that same battle is on today. That same warfare is current. You know, it's age old. It's a long, long time, but it's still going on. And, you know, I did some research and it said that on an average, the human being can entertain or have between 50,000 to 70,000 thoughts in a day. I'm saying, whoa. You know, if you were to bring it down to a minute, that's between 35 to 50 thoughts in a minute. Some lower it a bit to 20,000 thoughts in a day. But that's still a lot of thoughts. You know, you see why we need to figure this out. We need to get a handle, a grip on our thoughts. Where did 70,000 thoughts go yesterday? I can't even remember, maybe 15, you know. I mean, I can only remember around 15, you know, based on what I was doing. I can't remember 70,000 thoughts of yesterday. And you know what they said too? That a lot of those thoughts are negative. Can you imagine? They say around 80% of what we think sometimes can be negative. It means that I put it to us that we need to take heed of our thoughts. I remember as a teenager, I saw my father reading a book, The Power of Positive Thinking by Norman Vincent Peale. And it was written in the 50s. And I read as a teenager, you know, you're trying to find your way. You know, I explored some of the chapters or pages. I don't think I ever did finish a chapter. Pages in the book. And I think the book left out something very important. And that is that our thoughts are not just being influenced by some mantra. Because that was how it worked. You know, you say something, you repeat it several times to yourself, and it's supposed to somehow change the way you think. But there is a supernatural component to our thoughts. We do not have the capacity to be good through thinking good. We were born, as it says, and shapen in iniquity. So we can't just think good. We have to actually be born again and to be renewed in the way we think. That, ladies and gentlemen, is supernatural. The book had no clue about that part of it. In fact, I did try some of the strategies in the book. I think I lasted 2 weeks, and then I went back to my stinking thinking, so to speak. I was trying to change something in my life. At that time, I used to curse bad words, you know, and I didn't really like it. I picked it up somewhere along the journey as a high schooler, and I was trying to change it, you know, every now and then. I wasn't a merchant in it, but it would come out, you know, and I wanted to change that way about me. And I tried using the strategies in the book, but as I said, it didn't last more than 2 weeks. But there's something more permanent. There is a way. There is a way in which we can tackle what's going on in our minds. You see, through Jesus Christ, God provides a way for us to be restored to Him and to be restored to the kind of fellowship that Adam and Eve had before the fall. When we surrender our lives to Jesus Christ, He sends His Holy Spirit, who comes to live in us, and He transforms our spirits and He transforms our minds. In St. John chapter 3, verses 6 and 7, Jesus was answering the question or the response about how can a man be born again. And He said, humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. You see, being born again is a spiritual transformation, and it affects our thinking. When we are born again, we start thinking differently. We start acting differently. Why? Because guess what? We become new creatures in Christ. And we are now positioning ourselves to allow the Holy Spirit to transform our thinking. You notice what I said? We are positioning ourselves. You see, it's not an immediate thing. It's not, I'm born now and all my thoughts are flushed and they're whitewashed and, you know, they now become pure. No. Only if. But those 50,000 to 70,000 thoughts do need sanctification. So we need God's help. And the first step is to be born again. In Romans 8, verses 5 to 8, we read, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. We could pause right there. When our minds are preoccupied with things of, the Bible refers to it as the flesh, the sinful nature. When we think sinful things, you know what is happening? We are being governed by the sinful nature. But then it says, those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit, they think about things that please the Spirit. And I like that expression of it. Because you see, as the thoughts come, we get an opportunity to ask, is this pleasing to God? Where does this come from? What is informing this thought that I have? I'm thinking that I won't make it in life. I'm thinking that I have failed. I'm thinking worthless. I'm thinking that I am nothing. What is informing that? My experience? Is it my past? Is it my family's genealogy? If that is all I'm going to use, and that which I'm just thinking about myself is so contrary to what God thinks, I need to change that thinking. If my thinking is that I can't make it because I have lost someone, my life is I'm at a loss. If that's all we're going to think and hold on to, then we need to change that thinking, because the Holy Spirit is able to help us. He says He's our advocate. He says He's our ever-present help in the time of trouble. So, it continues in verse 6. So, letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind, it leads to life and peace. It says the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It's always opposing God. It's always going against God's word. It's always going against the work of God. It's always want to tear down and to destroy what God is building. It says the sinful nature is always, not little bit, not every now and then. It says always. We can't trust in that. We can't rely and lean on our own understanding if it is always hostile to God. It says it never did obey God's laws, and it never will. It never will. We can't harness the sinful nature. Hallelujah. So we have a choice and a decision to make. And it's not about going to a happy place. You know, I used to use that expression, I'm going to find my happy place. You know, and it's supposed to be where you mentally go somewhere or think of something that makes you happy. You know, very transient, very, very temporary, very, very earthly minded, really. So it's not about thinking good or happy thoughts. It's first turning our lives to God and then partnering with the Holy Spirit to lead and transform our mind and our thinking patterns. Remember those thoughts, you know, the 50 to 70,000 thoughts a day. You know, I was wondering, I don't know when they did this research, and I don't know how a pandemic might have influenced those thoughts, but certainly I know my mind was going 99 miles per hour with this pandemic, so maybe those 70 thoughts went up. You know, maybe it is more than 70,000 thoughts in this time. But that's a lot of thoughts. And we have to figure out, are they our own thoughts? What are our thoughts? Are they God's thoughts? Did they come from the devil? We need to figure it out. We need to be discerning. What can we do to ensure we keep our minds stayed upon Jesus? What can we do to ensure that our thoughts are being led by the Spirit of God? It is said that we can't think two thoughts at the same time with the same intensity and focus. You know, I know that it's a big thing to be able to, what they call, multitask. But, you know, they say that you can't have two thoughts to the same 100% maximum attention at the same time. However, we do think very quickly, rapidly. So it's like one thought after another thought after another thought. And maybe in our mind, we are thinking all these thoughts all at once. But we can't have two thoughts to the same maximum degree of attention at the same time. And to me, I think God worked it that way so that when those thoughts come that are not of God, we can displace them. We can root them out. We can replace them with the word of God. Fill up on God's word so that there's no room for the devil's lies to move in and set up a stronghold. Because that's what happens, you know. That's what happens. You give him an inch, as they would say, he takes a mile. And then he sets up strongholds. I remember when I left the university and I was looking for a job, the devil had me, you know, like a bouncing ball. So I know I needed a job. But then fear came and gripped me. And it was difficult for me to rise up and go look for a job. I don't know how that works. I wrote the applications, and I got the recommendations, and I sent them in. That was easy. But as the responses start coming in, and there was a particular offer, I started to get afraid. I said, I don't know anything. I'm going to fail at this job. I'm afraid that they'll find out that I am a fraud. No, really. Just leaving university, you really don't know a lot, right? It's just what you studied. But I believed that lie. And once it came in, I didn't dismiss it. I didn't say that, no man, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I didn't replace it with a word from God. I just held on to it saying that, boy, no, I'm afraid. You know, I can't take that job. You know, and a lot of fear gripped me, and it was unreasonable. But nothing could penetrate it. I believe that lie to be true. And when I look back now on it, it's like, wait, I must have lost it in my mind. Because there was nothing anyone could tell me, could reason me out of that moment that moment of those months of being fearful that I would fail at something that I hadn't even started. But that's how the devil works. You know, he deceives us. So he comes in and he sets up a stronghold. In Psalm 119, verse 11, it says, the psalmist says, "Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." That's the key to dealing with the battlefield of the mind. We need to pump up on God's words. We need to know what God says. And if you don't know, go and find out what God says. We need to have the word of God in our hearts. We cannot put our trust in ourselves. We are not good. The Bible says there's none that is good. No matter how you think, oh, I'm doing well, you know, I'm doing good works, I'm helping. No, there's none that is good. In Jeremiah 17, verses 9 and 10, the Message version puts it this way: "The heart is hopelessly dark and deceitful, a puzzle that no one can figure out." But thank God for God. He says, "But I, God, search the heart and I examine the mind. I get to the heart of the human. I get to the root of things. I treat them just as they really are, not as they pretend to be." You see, I was blinded. The devil made me think that I was not able to handle this job that I was being offered. You know, he had blinded my eyes, but God got to the heart. He got to the root of the thing. You know, he saw what was going on in my mind, and he spoke through his word to me. So don't rely on the heart and on your own thinking. The King James Version says that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know it? But thank God, there's a response. God knows it. Hallelujah. Praise God. And we really need to get God's thoughts. We need to get God ruling our thoughts. In Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, God declares, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts." Wow. "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." Boy, all those 70,000 thoughts, God is saying that his thoughts are above them. He's saying that his thoughts, you know, his ways are far better. They supersede anything that we can come up with on our own. So we need transformation of our mind. And that's what it says in Romans 12, verse 2. "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." We have to submit our plans to God. Don't do the plan and then say, "God bless this plan, is what I'm going to do, all right," and go off and execute the plan. You know, you need to find out what is God saying. It says, only when you allow God to transform the way you think, that you will then learn to know God's will. It's a process. It's a process. Sometimes we hit, sometimes we miss, but let us keep working with God transforming our mind. Praise God. There's another scripture that says, "Let this same mind that is in Christ be in you." We can't trust our own patterns of thinking. There are too many things that inform how we think. Can I tell you, I held offense in my heart for the better part of a year, years ago. And when I look back at it, I was robbed. The devil stole from me, and that's what he comes to do. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He comes to separate us not only from God, you know, with his lies. He wants to create division in families. He wants to dismantle friendships. He wants to destroy marriages. He wants to distance children from their parents. And he wants to disempower the church. The devil is the father of lies. And his purpose, his sole purpose, is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said in John 10:10 that my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. It's to bring life and life more abundantly to his people. Praise God. Hallelujah. What are you thinking? I have to start thinking about what we are thinking now, right? We have to start thinking. Pay attention to what we are thinking. Don't give in to them. Don't give in to them. It doesn't take a millisecond for a thought to be created. And yet, that one little thought can mash up our lives for years. That's interesting. You know, a man who is angry with someone and says, I'm going to kill you. And he does the act. It was just a millisecond of a thought. But that act has him behind bars for years. You understand? Just a millisecond. We need to capture those thoughts. The Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, rulers of the darkness, spiritual wickedness set up in heavenly places. We have been given the authority to demolish, bring down, pull down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And harness those thoughts, make them captive to God, our Creator. So in summary, what have we looked at? That, well, one, we have got lots and lots of thoughts in a day. That lots of thoughts pass through this mind every day. That God made man good, but man lost his battle with the devil. That first battle, that first encounter, he lost it, and he lost it in the mind. Our original human nature, which was created good, became corrupted to become sinful because of sin. And humans are no longer inherently good. You know, some persons have this philosophy that, you know, man is inherently good. We just have to appeal to the good in man. No, no, no. Man is not inherently good. Being born again renews our spirits and positions us to renew our minds by the Holy Spirit every day. Our obedience to God is necessary to have victory over Satan. And then, final point is that we need to fill our minds with God's word, so we can evict, we can rebuke, we can resist the deceitful thoughts of the devil. If you recall, when the devil was tempting Jesus, every response was, it is written. We have to have God's words written on our hearts. We have to have them written in our minds so that we can discern, so that we can tell what is God's good and perfect will. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, I would like to pray. And I would like to pray for those who might be struggling with thoughts. And I'm putting my hand up. Because can I tell you, it's a daily battle. If we have 70,000 thoughts, then don't want to think, you know, today I can skip reading God's word. I can skip praying. The devil is not skipping out, you know. He's bombarding. He's sending those thoughts. And every day we have to watch those fiery darts, you know, that he's sending our way. So I want to pray for us against those thoughts, that God will give us an appetite for his word, so that that word can spring up and tackle the lies of the devil. It says that the word of God is the sword of the spirit. It's one of the components of the armor of God. We have to fit it on every day. We have to use it every day. In this pandemic, you know, it's easy to start thinking woefully. You know, it's easy to start thinking down the road or what's going to happen. But you know, this is the day that the Lord hath made. We are going to rejoice. Let's make a decision this day. You know, my mother asked me something. What's going to happen when you get older? You know, she's concerned. And I understand her concern. And I said, Mama, I'm not concerned about that. I'm going to work with what I'm given today. I'm going to work with today. Because the devil wants to come and let me start thinking those woeful thoughts about the future. And God has his promises that I can hold on to. And I can study. And I can apply. Hallelujah. Praise God. I just want to reread something here. That the devil doesn't just want to separate us from God, but he wants to create division among families. He wants to dismantle friendships. He wants to destroy marriages. He wants to distance children from their parents. He wants to disempower churches. And can I tell you, it starts in our thinking. Hallelujah. Let's just pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord God, Lord, we just thank you that you are holy, oh God. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, when you prayed for us in St. John, when you prayed for the disciples then, and you said that it wasn't just for them, but for all who would believe. When you prayed for your children, you said that, Lord, I've kept them by the power of your word. Lord, I pray, oh God, that those who are struggling in their thought life, Lord God, things that they thought was buried 20 years ago, 15, 5 years ago, are resurfacing in our thoughts, oh God. Lord, I commit them to you, Lord. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we take authority over every imagination and every high thing that has exalted itself against the knowledge of Jesus Christ in our lives. And we command every one of those thoughts, those ungodly thoughts, those deceitful lies, we command every one of them to be brought captive to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord God. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, we pray, oh God, that where we have entertained, Lord God, disobedience to your word, Lord Jesus. Lord, where we have gone against, Lord God, the nudging of your Holy Spirit, where we didn't think it was a big deal, oh God, and we say that, Lord, you will forgive. Lord, forgive us, oh God, for taking your grace and your mercy for granted. Lord Jesus, we confess even now, Lord, the things that we did that were displeasing to you, that they were not your what you wanted us to do, Lord. Lord, we ask you to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness, Lord. Yes, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Lord, we pray that you will renew our mind by the power of your Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. We surrender to you, O God. Yes, Lord Jesus. We surrender our bodies, our souls, and our spirits to you, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord God. Come, Lord Jesus, and have your way. Lord, we want to be ruled. We want to be governed. We want to be controlled by your Holy Spirit, oh God. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord God. So, Lord Jesus, we pray, oh God, that even as we have received this word, we pray that this word will bring forth, Lord God, obedience to your word. It will bring forth that appetite, Lord God, to study your word, to hide your word of truth in our hearts, oh God, so that, Lord, we can out, Lord God, the fiery darts of the devil by the sword of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Lord, we just bless your name. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts even now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a clap offering of praise. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What an awesome word. Amen. As a man thinketh, so is he. You know, this morning as I had my devotions, my personal devotions, and I was reading, there were so many thoughts going through my mind, and I was trying to concentrate on reading the Word of God. And, you know, thoughts were just going through my mind. And I had to stop and rebuke them, and, you know, because I wanted to grasp what I was reading, but it was a struggle, you know. And I think we can all relate to this word. You know, one of the things that stood out to me was that scripture that is on the screen. And it says, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Now, you know, this is a revelation for me, because I usually say, Lord, change me, Lord. Transform my thinking. Transform my life. But you know, there's a partnership here now. It is saying, let God transform you into a new person. How does that happen? We, in turn, have to change the way we think. As we change the way we think, God meets us and transforms us little by little. Amen? So we have a part to play. By struggling, by fighting, by resisting the thoughts. And the Bible says that as we do that, God transforms us into a new person. So I want that to be an encouragement to you. When you are struggling with those negative thoughts, those dirty thoughts, and you are fighting, you know, just believe that as you fight, that God is going to come and transform you into a new person, little by little and day by day. Now, my process of transformation has been going on many, 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 many years, from 1977. And I want to tell you, I am not yet, I can't even say fully transformed. I'm not yet fully transformed, right? As far as I'm concerned, I've come away. But I'm not there yet. Amen? But it's little by little and day by day. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, praise God. I just want to say that the Holy Spirit is here to heal. Amen? And I just want to just share some conditions that the Holy Spirit has laid upon my heart. And if you are here in the sanctuary, you know, I just want you to embrace it. You could just indicate. If you are watching live on Facebook and it is concerning you, any of them concern you, you know, just lift up your hand and say, Lord, I thank you for your healing power in my life now. Amen. And just name your condition and thank God for your healing. Amen. So if you've been having frequent hiccups, you know, frequent is relative, but it's noticeable that you've been having hiccups, whether every now and then it's more than you normally have, you know, God is healing you right now. Amen. Praise God. And if you've been having infrequent bowel activity, God is healing you now of that condition. Praise the Lord. And maybe, you know, you have been experiencing nausea and vomiting. God is healing you right now. And there are times you might be having a blurred vision. God is healing you right now. Amen. So praise God. Let's just commit those conditions to God. Father, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, we thank you that your Holy Spirit is present even now to heal that person who is having frequent hiccups, infrequent bowel activity, nausea and vomiting, blurred vision. Lord, I pronounce your healing in their lives now, in the name of Jesus Christ. Be healed, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.